Someone once asked me, how can you believe in a God who cries? And I said to them, how can you believe in a God who doesn't cry? When we think and feel an integral evolutionary framework about God, we think and feel into how God feels. Part of the second person realization of the divine is not merely to feel tatvam ashe, thou art that, to feel the I am divine rising in me. It's not merely the awestruck wonder as I behold the infinite vast complexity and gorgeousness of the systems of cosmos and psyche, all the way up and all the way down. But God in the second person is the experience of all of that infinity, of all of that gorgeousness, as a second person being intelligence, which animates and suffuses all that is. The God before whom I bow, before whom I prostrate, the Christ before whom I cross myself, the altar at which I kneel, the place at which Rumi and Hafez fall in abject devotion, wanting only to be held in the arms of the beloved. That's God in second person. It's the God who cares so much that we can't even imagine that level of caring. The divine is not only the infinity of power, but the infinity of compassion, the infinity of caring. The divine who knows my name, who knows your name. And so how do we bow before the divine who is compassion, who is love, who holds us with infinite tenderness in a world of Haiti, in a world where we witness regularly levels of destruction, levels of pain, levels of violence, children in hospitals, amputees, crushed under rocks, no help available, slow, painful, and torturous death, even as we were eating our chopped liver sandwich last week, our comfortable, air-conditioned, middle and upper-middle class, landed gentry, places of the world, where we read integral theory to amuse ourselves, but then give us some sense of intellectual stimulation, looking for meaning in our all-too-comfortable lives. Right? How do we talk to God in the second person? The great realization of the divine lover, that all the great traditions, from Sufism to Hebraism to esoteric Christianity, the aboriginal traditions, realized and experienced and knew. When this divine in the second person seems to allow for such pain and for such suffering, how could God allow for Haiti? And I offer this question to you in prayer. The question is not impudent. The question is not arrogant. The question itself is a prayer. And I want to try and pray this with you. I want to pray this answer with you. In four ways, each very different, each holding a different sacred spark of the integral divine that needs and waits to be redeemed by us. First, most direct and most clear, the question is now not how did God allow for Haiti? It is how did human beings allow for Haiti? The divine supplied the world with all that is necessary to deal effectively and to even prevent unnatural natural disasters like that which took place. Proper structured housing, which is earthquake resistant, appropriate road systems, systems of aid put in place well in advance for the disasters that will nonetheless happen, which will allow for quick and efficient delivery of relief services, of medical services. All of this was completely possible. All of this could have been put into place 1,000 times over by all of the global UN and other relief agencies. And they weren't. They weren't, despite the full knowledge, the full and clear knowledge that such a disaster would happen. Why? Why? Because we were locked in our collective, separate self, ego. Why? Because we were concerned with egocentricity and ethnocentricity, right? Why? Because human rivalry and tension, right, and pettiness, right, prevented us from coming together and realizing that that which unites us is so much greater than anything that might divide us. We didn't put into place what was completely within our reach and ability to put into place. And the divine waited for us to act. Mystical Hasidic thinker Nachman of Breslov once wrote that atheism, that the very existence of atheism in the world is in and of itself an expression of the divine. I mean, did you feel the radical non-dual intuition realization in that? That if the divine is all that is, then all that is included in the divine, and even the atheistic impulse is therefore included in the divine. And so what, asks Nachman of Breslov, what is the divinity in the atheistic impulse? He says, when confronted with a world suffering, behave as if there was no God. For you are that God. For you are the one who is responsible in every possible way to assure that the hungry will be fed, that the disaster will be averted, that the pain will be healed, that the shattered hearts will be mended. And so our first understanding, how did God allow for Haiti? The question is actually not a question which the human being asks God, but which God turns to the human being and says, how did you, divine miniatures, with all the gifts and resources that I gave you, how did you allow for Haiti? And that's our first understanding. And as we breathe into it, breathing in the pain and breathing out the light, and the holy, sacred technology of Tonglen, the Buddhist meditation, in which we take in the pain and transmute it into light, we turn now to our second understanding, prayer which at least approaches, right, the quest and the quest we're on to understand how do we live and love in the universe of Haiti. Clearly in approach one, we understand that we need to do everything possible both to prevent and to act. Two, my dear friends, how does God feel? How does God feel in a world of Haiti? What is God doing when Haiti is happening? Waiting for us to act. Waiting for us who are God's verbs and God's adjectives, God's dangling modifiers, right, to act, to heal, and to transform. What is God doing as God waits? And here's the second teaching. What God is doing is this crying. God is crying so deeply, so powerfully, so passionately, that we can't even begin to imagine or to touch God's tears. And I want to share with you a holy teaching. It's a teaching by Kalonymus Kalman Piasecki, the master who died in Treblinka outside of the Warsaw Ghetto, and who cited an ancient text, an Aramaic text from the 4th century. And the text asks, what does God do on the inside? Because that's the way of esoteric masters. The way of esoteric masters is they try and feel into the divine, to actually touch the divine and the divine's innermost feeling, and to in that way hold the divinity, even as divinity holds us. And so the way they hide this mystical, esoteric, radical activity is they ask simple questions of the text. And the text questions are encoded esoteric teachings. And so the text question is, how does God feel on the inside? And the question is asked, by Jeremiah, who lives the time of Lao Tzu as the actual religions are emerging in the 6th century. Right? And Jeremiah has two answers to this question. One is, Oz v'chadva b'mkomo. In the divine place on the inside, God is filled with audacity and laughter. And the second text of Jeremiah is, Bamishtarim tifkeh nafshi. God cries right on the inside. God is crying, cheering on the inside. So these seem to be, the Aramaic teachers tell us in the 4th century, these seem to be two different realizations, two different meditative graspings of what's happening on the inside of divinity. One is that the God on the inside is somehow crying, and the other is that God on the inside is somehow laughing. So which is it? So the masters tell us in Aramaic, Hababate Gavai, Hababate Bahai. One text, one realization refers to the inside house. The other refers to the outside house. That is to say, really, on the inside house, God's doing one thing, and the outside house, God's doing something else. If you were a Buddhist, you might say the absolute and the relative. In the relative, there's one expression, one realization of all that is, of shunyata, of divinity. And in the absolute, there's a different realization. But which is which? That's the question that the masters then go on to ask. And this is the mystical process. Which is which? Right? Is God laughing on the inside and crying on the outside? Or is God crying on the inside and laughing on the outside? And many masters go in the classical Buddhist way. Right? In the absolute, of course, all is audacity, all is laughter, meaning all is beyond change. There is no pain. So on the inside, as it were, on the inside, as it were, in the absolute, right, all is beyond tears, because how could there be tears in the absolute? The absolute is the manifestation of the divine in the relative, in the changing world. It's God's relationship to world. Beautiful teaching. But that's not our prayer for Haiti today. Our prayer for Haiti today is the second teaching. And the second teaching, the radical teaching, offered in Treblinka in 1942 by Colonimus Kalman Shapiro, master of Piasecznia, last great master of the Kabbalistic lineage of Poland. He says it so deeply, he says, no. He says, what I've realized in Treblinka is that we've always read this text wrongly. But if you actually enter and understand the deepest truth, you will know that on the inside of the inside, God is crying. And only on the outside does God laugh. And the reason God cries on the inside and on the outside is because God's pain is so infinite. God's tears are so infinitely pained that if but one tear of the divine were to fall on the outside, the world would be instantly destroyed. And Piasecznia Kalman, the master, teaches us and reminds us that when we speak of God in the second person as all-powerful, the infinity of divine power, we forget the infinity of divine pain. God's power is infinite in that God stepped back and turned to us and said, you be my partner in completing the creation of the world. You be my partner in the healing and transformation. You be my partner and take responsibility to heal the shattered hearts. And God waits for us to become miniature divine, right? To step up, to exercise the radical capacity of choice, right? To act as gods in the world. And when we don't, and we who are literally part of God, because that's what non-dual realization means, right? When we suffer, the divine suffers infinitely. And you know, you and I only suffer, right? The pain of our limited bodies, our skin-encapsulated egos, as long as we remain in our separate selves. But the divine who is ultimate realization, the divine who is ultimate non-dual embrace and incarnation of all that is, the divine suffers all of the pain infinitely, the infinity of divine pain, the infinity of divine tears. Can you imagine that pain? Can you imagine the infinity of divine pain as Haiti takes place? Christ in all her distressing disguises, nailed to the cross in perpetual crucifixion. And the only way that we can take Christ down from the cross, the only way that we can heal the pain is our willingness to step out of the narrow confines of our woundedness and our egocentricity, the narrow confines of business as usual, the narrow confines of grasping for security and egoic fulfillment to prove to ourselves that we exist, and to begin to practice and to realize that the heart of the cosmos lives in my heart and in your heart, and act from that heart, to make life choices from that heart, to decide to adopt another child from that heart, right, to decide to find the person in the world whose tears can only be healed uniquely by you. Right, to find the place which is not in Haiti, because you might not be able to get to Haiti today, but which is in your local community, which waits healing, which you have full, absolute, radical power to heal, but you're too fucking busy. Right? Can you hear that, sweetheart? Right? I'm saying it to myself just like I'm saying it to you. Right? When does business as usual stop? Right? When do we actually let go of the egocentricity of the skin encapsulated separate self and begin to feel the bodhisattva heart of the cosmos beating in us, as us, and through us? God's heart loves us so much that God chose to incarnate in us, as us, and through us. In us beats the bodhisattva heart of compassion. And to the prayer we offer, it's the God who is beyond, before whom we bow, God in the second person, to the God who is in us and lives as us, Taksam Ase, thou art that, right, whose compassion needs to be aroused and whose action needs to be manifested. And to God in the third person, who manifests in love and animates all of the great systems, let there be healing. Let us be the healing. And so it is. Amen.